Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Hello and welcome back to the second part of my talk with Sean King from the UK. Today we are talking about Sean's connections to Hanover and we are talking about the current situation in the UK, and additionally we will talking about the question if the next Olympic Games in Tokyo this year will be the same as all the Olympic Games in the past. So enjoy the conversation and we hear each other at the end of this podcast again. Are there any things you can give your young athletes right now in your daily or day-to-day job with them, saying, okay, based on your experience, I would maybe make this decision or that decision, or what are really the pieces you can give the young kids with them right now based on your experience?
Yeah, so I'm really for. I work with kids from loads of different sports. So obviously water polo is my baby, if you like. But I coach rugby, I coach cricket, I coach loads of different sports. So yeah. I think like
UK sports.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the biggest thing for me is the experience I had playing abroad. Traveling abroad with a national team, you know, I'll use the boy that's in White Sharks Hanover as the example. I remember his parents calling me and being really worried, like really worried what I would think, as in whether I would go, absolutely not. There's no way that I want him to leave, you know, and of course I didn't want him to leave. But at the same time, I guess what an opportunity. You know,
for him personally, right, to develop himself
as a 15-year-old boy, to immerse yourself in a different culture, you know, to learn a different language, to be able to train in the sport he loves twice a day, sometimes three times a day with Vuk, who I know you had Vuk on, I think, before. it's for me, that's the biggest thing. Is I say to them when I talk to the kids, I'm just like, look, like sport opens so many doors, you know, and the people that you meet are lifelong friendships. Like, so look, through sport alone, I mentioned Andre Josep is a very, very good friend of mine. Vieko Kobeshek in Jug Dubrovnik is somebody I idolize, to be honest, but is also a really good friend now. We've become really, really good friends. You know, I've been introduced to guys like Vuk as a result of knowing Vieko and Andre. So it's all of that has come through sport. So my thing is always, look, the work hard. When you think about sport, you know, everybody that made it were the ones that worked hard, not necessarily the most talented. You know, it was the ones that it was everything. You know, they were constantly learning. They were constantly pushing themselves. They were constantly analyzing how they could improve, but also just seize those opportunities, you know, particularly while you're young and when you're studying, really take the opportunity to go and experience a different culture, learn a new language, you know, because they're the people you're keeping touch with for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so. Yes. I think most of the people are talking in the podcast saying, okay, when I have the opportunity to play for the national team or also for a top team in Europe, I really create my own network during the active career, which is very helpful after the active career. Yeah. As you mentioned, go in touch with people, you can benefit from your networking, try to get something across. So it's really then the beneficial situation. Yeah. That you create your own network during your active career. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and both of you or both parties or both sides really, have the benefit from these kind of connections.
From me, as in, and I know we're talking specifically with him, the way he's welcomed Pierre has just been amazing, you know, and that's my biggest fear, you know, was how he loves the sport. I want him to come back loving the sport, you know, and There's absolutely no doubt that the way that he's been treated by Vuk and by White Sharks, he's going to come back and want it even more, you know. So I have nothing but just great feeling, you know, for Vuk and what he's done, you know, and hopefully he might take some of mine in the future again. He might want someone else. So we shall see.
Yeah.
I mean, what's great as well is I think they are going ahead now. Our junior national team are coming across. So Vuk has organised basically that our under 19s, our 2003 generation will be coming across, I think, in October. Obviously, if everything continues to head in a good direction, then as you touched on, this is the links, you know, that it started with a student from my school, you know, to then our junior national team coming to train with Vuk and the White Sharks. So it's great. It's a great thing in the sport.
Yeah. So you mentioned the actual, let's say, not so funny and not so good situation about Corona. What is the situation in the UK at the moment for you in terms of training, in terms of playing water polo? Is there anything possible at the moment? Because in Germany, it's at least for the most of the kids and the most of the clubs, not really at least able to train. So only the top teams and national teams is able to train at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's so currently anybody under the age of 18 is able to train. There are restrictions on what they can do, you know, and as with anything, the frustration is as with anything, the restrictions are in some cases quite grey. So they can be interpreted differently, you know, rather than it being you can do this, you can't do that. There's a little bit of... maybe you can this and maybe you can't this. The biggest problem for us, Andreas, and it was a problem before coronavirus, you know, so many of our swimming pools will shut, will not reopen, will have repairs from never having been switched off. As daft as it sounds, you know, like a lot of these plant rooms have never ever switched off. So to shut them down completely for months, all of a sudden they've got thousands of pounds worth of repairs, which that money, that's got to come from somewhere, you know. And if they aren't generating income, it's my biggest fear is we've been really lucky, my school's been really lucky, and schools have been slightly different to clubs, because if you have your own pool, you have been able to, when schools have been in school, you've been able to swim. And we've been really lucky, we've been able to play water polo at my school throughout when we've been in school. But the disparity on what people have been able to do regionally is vast, you know. There'll be regions where the swimming pool's still not open, you know, and they will have been able to for a couple of weeks now, but they still cannot host. And then some leisure centers have a differing opinion on water polo, and it's possible transmission, in that somebody swimming and only ever using a float or a pool boy or flippers is less likely to transmit any potential COVID, you know. So it's messy, but we are in a better, it's looking brighter, you know. More and more clubs are returning and able to both swim and play polo.
Yeah, so which is, let's say a good situation, but at the moment in Germany, it's not really possible to train because, as you mentioned, also in Germany, most of the pools are closed. Yeah, so when you have a private pool, you are maybe allowed to do it with the restrictions, saying, okay, you can train with a group of people from 4 people or 10 people, or I don't know. So big, best clubs like Waspo, Spandau, and so on, so they have really the opportunity to train and to play the games in the Bundesliga, but everything under this, it's really, yeah. So we hopefully there are not really a big number of kids saying, okay, I don't want to play water polo at this, at the end of this time or period. This is the biggest fear we have here in the moment. So that there are not really a really big number of kids saying, okay, I quit the game and let's see what will happen somewhere else. So this is really the biggest fear.
I think it'd be interesting. I mean, look, certainly from our point of view, the desire to play has been great. As in, I think there's got to be an element of where the kids have had nothing, the opportunity to get involved. You'd like to think there'd be kids that are looking for what can I get into? You know, I've had all this time of being on my phone. Maybe kids have finally realised spending too much time on your phone is not good for you. that we may pick up some kids, but certainly, again, only talking from my perspective, our numbers have been really encouraging, you know, and the fact we've been able to do water polo within the restrictions, we've been getting really good numbers, you know, which really hopefully bodes well. And I hope it's the same, you know. I hope that when things are lifted, there will be this. I'm certainly, as a parent, I'd be pushing my kids into every possible club and opportunity, you know, for a rest. Yeah. So parents, please send your kids to water polo because they will love it. They will love it. It's a great sport.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's really, yeah. So as a parent, I do exactly the same. So I'm really happy that my son is able to train. Anyway, so it's not really the easiest situation when you are every day only able to train when there's no really competition. So then you have no real games against others. So, and maybe also the difference in the level of training, then it's maybe a totally different one because you are able to train for the last couple of months throughout the year, and the other guys are really able to train for the last 4 or 6 weeks. It's not the easiest situation at the moment.
No, not at all.
Not the easiest situation. I think it's also the host of the next Olympic Games. So at least they will happen. So what do you think about these kind of games without any audience or without any fans? So it's maybe when you mentioned your special moment in your Olympic Games, it's really the moment with the fans and the audience and the sound. You're walking in the into the pool. This is not really the same, right?
No. I think it definitely isn't. It definitely isn't. But look, there's a gold medal on offer, you know. And I think that
it's the same. So there's nothing notice on the medal at the end. You won this medal without audiences,
and nobody will celebrate any less, you know, if they win that gold medal, and nobody will ever disregard that gold medal because there weren't fans, you know. So I think it's I often wonder, and I don't want to be disrespectful at all, but look, like for South Africa, that obviously I think it's amazing that they're going, you know, to have that spot, that representative going is only good for our sport, you know. To have, we want more countries playing, we want our sport played everywhere, you know. Any sport wants that. It will be a very different experience for them, you know, that it will, like, a behind closed doors Olympics is not like Rio, not like London, not like where you have that real buzz. But look, you're still an Olympian. You're still somebody that achieved that, you know. As I say, look, for the top teams, you world championships, you know, the Europeans, everybody wants to be world champion, but the Olympic Games is the pinnacle, you know. It's it's the one that everybody wants. Now, I get really excited when you think about the sort of teams that you put into that category going into Tokyo. I think it's going to be fascinating, you know. I think it's going to be a really interesting Games, particularly with the new rules and how they've been bedded in now and how referees are maybe interpreting them slightly differently now. I think it's going to be really interesting. That fight for the medals is going to be very, very interesting, you know.
Yeah. So when you mentioned the new rules, so I guess the basic idea of the new rules is really to make it more attractive and make it faster. So do you think it's really fulfill this kind of thing? So
it's That's a difficult question. It's a tough question. Like if you if you ask me if I like the new rules, I would say sort of on the whole, yes. Like on the whole,
I do.
There are elements that, I mean, like I use the Spanish. I think the Spanish have clearly been working with the new rules for a long time, you know, because even their substitutions are like seamless. Like it feels like they've been working with those conditions for a while. Has it made the game more attractive? I think I've read it so many times. I think one of our biggest problems is there's so many whistles, Andreas, you know, mm-hmm. and if you were to switch it on with no knowledge, it's not that easy to follow what all the whistling's for.
Which is also not really easy when you know the game.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the second part.
There's 12 outfield players that don't understand half the time. So it's, I think that, and I'm not, I don't have a solution. I'm not about to give a solution to the problem, but I think that it's right that the game is looking at how we can draw a greater audience. It has to remain water polo is my thing. Like it has to remain the sport of water polo. We don't want it to go vastly different, you know. We want it to remain quite similar. I like more majors, you know. I like the idea of more 6-on-5, you know. I like the idea of more goals. Has it really happened? Mm-hmm. Not really, you know. Score lines are not drastically different to, mm-hmm. to before because defenses are better, you know. It's what happens in sport. You build new parameters and sport builds new players. So it's, as I say, as I started, I quite like the new rules, some of them. Has it become more appealing? I'm not sure. It still feels like polo. It still feels like water polo before. So, but it's right. It's right that we look at how do we attract a greater audience, because we love the sport. We want it. We want more people to be exposed to the sport, you know. So it's certainly the right way to go. I don't have the answers. I'm not sure how we go about doing it. But
So I'm quite sure that we are not able to give here some final answers to the questions.
Good. I was worried.
There are so many possible ways to come to the end. But I think one thing coming to my mind, or I recognized during the Olympic qualifying tournament in Rotterdam, was the video assistant referee. So, which is from my perspective really a good enhancement.
Yeah, immediately I thought of the Premier League and. Mm-hmm. I don't know how widely covered it is in Germany, but VAR is not popular in the UK. It's not popular. And
I think it's not popular because the rules are not clear enough.
Yes, true. I think, look, if it's clear what VAR is to be used for, I think it's brilliant. I'm completely in favour of it. I'm going off talking about football, but in football, it's mm-hmm. no decision is the same. You know, VAR intervenes for completely different, but then doesn't intervene for a serious challenge, or mm-hmm. it's not really defined what it is. You know, I'm in favour. You know, VAR. One moment sticks out. You know, and I was at the game, Croatia Spain in 2012. Ivan Perez had a backhand that I'm pretty sure went in the goal, but wasn't given. You know, now Croatia went on to win gold at that Olympic Games. So it's wrong to look at single moments, but that would have been a situation whereby VAR would have at least have given us clarity on the situation. It would have at least given us that chance to have another look.
So I think I also talked to a referee, Frank Ohme from Germany, who's also the referee in Rotterdam. And he says, okay, you are not really able to challenge each situation in the game because the VAR, it's only able to say, okay, it's a goal or no goal.
So any
other situation where we have, for example, you mentioned in the football or in the Premier League, for example, where you have, I think, more opportunities to go to the referee or to the video referee and saying, okay, can you please check these kind of situation? Yeah. So I think we have quite different situation between the two sports. Yeah. But I think in the water polo, as we mentioned before, when you say, okay, you have you are sure that it was a goal and, or you are sure that it was not a goal. So this makes then at the end really a big difference between the two sports, I guess.
And as we said a moment ago, look, we want the sport to be more appealing. We don't want more downtime. So what VAR has done in football is made games longer.
Mm-hmm. where 95, 96 minutes.
we don't want that. You know, we don't want a water polo where the players are treading water on screen. Yeah. I think I'm for it. You know, I'm for technology in sport, full stop. And we're probably getting it right at the moment. You know, we're getting it right that is all it is concerned with is goal or no goal.
Yeah. So I think to say it again, what you mentioned before, it's really then during the next Olympic Games, really, really exciting tournament. Yeah, with these kind of teams, Hungary and Serbia and so on. So it's really really thrilling tournament. Also, when you have no audience, but as you mentioned before, it's the same for the athletes going there.
Yeah, I think. What I like is just the difference in style as well. You know, like the top nations, the ones we would consider, and there's nations you can't rule out. You know, you can't. Croatia crawled through an Olympic qualifications, you know, in Rotterdam, mm-hmm. but you cannot rule Croatia out of the picture. You know, it's there. That's the exciting thing, is how many could reach that gold medal game. But as I started, I think the sort of difference in style is I'm a big fan of, I like the way Italy and Spain play. You know, I'm a big fan of particularly the Spanish. You know, I really like mm-hmm. the way that Spain have sort of picked the best parts of everything. I like the way that Japan play. You know, I think mm-hmm.
I heard this several times.
Yeah, I keep hearing that Japan have prepared something, you know, behind closed doors, you know, for maybe the next progression of their style, this Japanese press. I think that the top nations for the first time have benefited from a smaller nation in Japan. You know, mm-hmm. countries are looking at the way they play and going, this is, we can have this. We can use this within our system. I think it's just going to be so exciting, you know, whether if Japan had a style that maybe they shock somebody early on, because look, the level of the coaches and the players are so, so intelligent at that level that I think it was Japan played this way and very quickly. I think Germany and Hungary very quickly found a way to isolate the Japanese players to make it more of a 1v1 battle, which basically completely... not destroyed the system, but made it very difficult for it to play to its strengths. It would be, I mean, look, for the sport, it would be amazing if Japan did upset somebody, you know, early, but I'm sure that they very quickly, those teams will adapt and change to, but I mean, that's exciting in itself, you know, Japan bringing an even more unusual style. Cause look, water polo has been pretty similar for a while. You know, the way mm-hmm. the teams play, to have something so different is really good for the sport. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see how Spain go in Tokyo. I'm really, really interested. You know, I was fortunate. He was very young, but I played with Alberto Munariz in Navarra. He is a Pamplona born boy. He's now one of the best players in the world. You know, he's without doubt able to play any position. So I've got a little bit of a soft spot for Spain because of him. And so I'm really interested to see how they go. You know, they've been so close. Them and Serbia seems to be the, but you can't rule out Hungary. Look, as I go, I'm naming and more countries that you cannot rule out. So it's going to be really exciting.
Yeah, so the point you mentioned before, that you have to find your you have to be different than others, so to make the change and to make the point at the end. So this is really the point coming also from Tamás Mertz, the trainer of the Hungarian national team, saying, okay, the world is so close on the top that you have to find your special thing and special move or special moment to make real the difference instead of the others. This is exactly the point you mentioned.
I was really fortunate, actually. I took part in like a fantasy league for the world championships, which feels and Vuk was involved, and Vieco was involved, and Andre Josset was involved, and loads of coaches from all over the world. And there was talk that we may do it again in the Olympics, so I really hope so, because it will mean that I watch every game and and make sure that I've got the strongest roster for each game I possibly can. But it's just, look, I think that it's the pinnacle. I come back to, for the athletes, Olympic gold is, and there's loads of incentives attached to it, you know, with being an Olympic champion, you know. And I always look at, I was fortunate that I played against that Hungarian team, you know, of Kashash, of Kish, of, I could go on and on and on, Varga, you know, that team. And there was this awe about them, you know, as multiple gold medal winning athletes. It's the pinnacle. And with that brings high level performance. You know, I think that regardless of the year, on the whole, the top athletes, it's been really different. You know, these bubbles, these Champions League bubbles have made preparations really hard. And I know the German clubs are coming off the back of the bubble to go straight into the Super Cup, and which is really tough. So it's going to be a lot of adapting, and training will have been really different. But look, the preparation for the Olympics, you know, you're going to get really, really high level games in the latter stages. And it'd be really, really good to see who comes out on top. It could be one of so many. So,
So hopefully we have really a thrilling tournament, or the Olympic tournament, then in front of us. So it's everything is set for this kind of tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. We need it. We need it as well. We need it.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to come to come to the mind from the kids again, and when so as you mentioned, we have really not the sports which is. So often shown in the TV. Yeah, so when you are not really happening on the TV, so you are not really existing for them. So this is really the biggest challenge. And I think during the last couple of weeks and months, also during these kind of pandemic, Corona pandemic, we have really a situation that more and more come or you are able to watch more and more online and streaming and so on, so which is phenomenal, so which is makes it easier for the kids to see water polo at least, so which is not really the case in the future in the past.
I think that's the biggest thing now, you know, for particularly now with how people are so literate with software off the back of home learning. And it's a mess. I mean, it was a real shame. I think I read the other day is it Len or Fina TV is ceasing? It's not happening anymore, or I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong, but the streaming service, I don't know if the streaming service is going to continue. And they're platforms that I've watched the majority of those high level games on, you know. So
At least the Fina TV is I think the one you have to pay, and the it's a free way you can see the Champions League.
And I could be completely, as I say, I could be completely wrong, but I think I read that one was not going to be available anymore, and that's not great for the sport, you know. It's what I like, I think, look, and I've spoke at length with Vieco about this in Jürg, and they really have an amazing setup in Dubrovnik, you know, and he's incredible. He's not just a coach, you know, he's somebody that wants our sport to grow. he is one of the he just understands the importance of countries like the UK and playing our sport, you know, and which is refreshing, you know, because sometimes you think that we're like we get forgotten a little bit, the UK, that probably justifiably because we aren't at that level. But if the sport was big in this country, that would be huge for our sport. I think like one of the things the clubs have to do is increase their exposure. So those mm-hmm. clubs at the top level, so you're in Germany, the Spandau's, the Waspo, they need to look into how do we stream these matches? How do we increase the profile of our players? How do we attract more kids into the sport? You know, because ultimately that's what it's all about. You know, it's, you may not be around to see the success you generate, if you follow what I mean. So all the work you do mm-hmm. is for the generations that come after. And that's, I think, something that the clubs have to do. You know, those top clubs need to, how can we sell the brand better? How can we market ourselves better to attract that greater interest?
Yeah. So I think the biggest, maybe not problem, but I think the thing is when you say as a big club, you would like to build your brand or try to sell and to promote the water polo, then you have the discussion with the organization or with the whatever, saying, okay, I'm the owner of all of that, and you are only a member and you are only a club, and I would like to build my brand for all of us. You have really the not so easy situation that you as a top club would like to promote yourself and the sport, and you are maybe not allowed to do that based on the discussion with the organization.
Yeah, sure.
So this is not, but I absolutely agree with you that the at least the bigger club should have a strategy or the digital strategy to bring this to the broader audiences.
And I think it started, you know, I think one of the things is at the moment still you have to search hard, you know, mm-hmm. it's not readily in front of you as much as it could be. But like I see some really good stuff from Ferencváros, you know, on social media. I see some really, even Reco, I've seen some really cool videos, you know, from Reco. And so I think they're all becoming, I don't want to say waking up to it, but I think the top clubs are starting to recognize that's only positive, you know. So there is some stuff out there. It's just, it's still not easy to find, is maybe my point.
Yeah. So, and when you're saying it's also the it's a responsibility of the club, but during the last podcast episode, it comes out that it's also the, also part of the responsibility of each player, because it's so easy to do it with the social media, with your smartphone and taking pictures, videos, interviews, whatever. So at least when each athlete, it's also responsibility for his content and he's providing something, at least this would be very different instead of the past.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the big thing for me, you know, and I wouldn't have thought like this, I think, 10 years ago, but mm-hmm. I want kids to love my sport now. So the big thing for me is what comes next, I guess, like it's what part can I play or what part can we play in bringing kids into this sport, you know, and helping them find a dream and realize it, I think maybe is the what I'm trying to say. So you're right. You look at football, which is probably the easiest thing to sell. Every player, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, every game they will post, lose or win. You know, it's so easy to do, you know, and 90% of our life is on phones now. So it's not as though it's an arduous task. It's a really, it's easy. It's an easy thing to do. So you're absolutely right.
At least coming back to the other point I mentioned before, it's so easy. Yeah. So, and you mentioned that you have really 90% of your daily business or daily work, and it's anyway on a smartphone, tablet, whatever. Yeah. So everybody is really able to do that during the last couple of weeks and months. So they're really trained to it.
Absolutely.
So what comes up for you personally, so in terms of water polo during the next couple of weeks or months?
We're starting to obviously we're starting with my own. I still play a little bit, but as I mentioned before, obviously at the moment, senior adults are not able. This is the crazy thing, Andreas. I could book to swim in a pool alone, as in as an individual, but I cannot train with my team. Mm-hmm. So over 18, we're not able to have any team activity, but I could book and swim. So at the moment, it's still not back till towards the end of May for adults. Obviously, my playing career is coming towards the opposite end of where it was in 2012. So I'm very much, my mindset is very much coaching. I loved coaching the junior national team. It's not only very time consuming with having a young family, but also expensive because mm-hmm. we are volunteers. I have the desire to return someday, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to be given the opportunity. I do have the desire to, I think, work with kids again. So the youth sections rather than the senior national team, more so the young guys, I think, because that's what I enjoy, that development side of it. But yeah, at the moment I've been in a discussion with a club about getting involved in their junior section, which would be really good. So that's something that might happen in the near future. But yeah, as I say, at the moment it's just building back up to what normal looks like. So yeah, over the next couple of weeks, it'll be the most used word, normal, at the moment. But it's just sort of gradually starting to build up to where we can do the things we took for granted, you know, before coronavirus. So mm-hmm. playing games in training and mm-hmm. playing against boys that were older and younger, you know, that's not something we've been able to do for a long time. So yeah, it's, as I say, I'm very sort of coaching driven now as opposed to playing. So it will be building the guys up again and starting to look towards mm-hmm. our ambitions for next season.
Great. I wish you all the best then for the development of the young kids. And hopefully we can back to go back to the normal. There is it again, the word.
Yeah, yeah.
The normal water polo coaching and playing. So I hope as soon as possible. I wish you all the best for your family, for stay safe and healthy, which is the most important point at the moment. Thanks for your time.
And once again, I know I started by saying this, but thank you so much for having me, Andreas. And
you're welcome.
Yeah, and really, really, really good to chat about the wonderful sport of water polo.
Yep, absolutely. So thanks for the time again. And have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are already at the end again of this podcast episode. Thanks again to Sean for his very interesting insights about the water polo boards as such in the UK during these days. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation as well as we did. And I hope you will be on board also in the next episode next week in the Water Polo Expert Talk podcast. And this will be then the recording of the live talk we will host this evening on Friday evening. Yeah, I hope you enjoy also these great panel of European top trainers and coaches, and I will for sure really enjoy this panel discussion in the evening today. Yeah, in the meantime, I'm happy that you enjoy the podcast, that you are growing together with me, the podcast, and yeah, I hope this will be happened also over the next couple of weeks and months. And yeah, in this terms, I would like you to share the episodes of the podcast with your network. Send me your feedback, give me your feedback about the episodes, about the topics, about the participants in the podcast. Yeah, I'm really looking forward for your feedback. As usual, stay safe and healthy, and we hear each other next week again.